Come tonight to look Exodus chapter 2 to the account of Moses. Apart from the Lord, there is no other man in the Bible whose life's history is given from the cradle to the grave. But Moses, you have his conception, you have his birth, you have his infancy, you have his escape at 3 months old, his adoption into Pharaoh's house, his life up to 40 leaving Egypt, then 40 years in Midian in the desert, and then 40 years leading the children of Israel right through the wilderness. So he is one of a very few that we have such a detailed account of the whole span of this man's life. We know of his parents, we know of his birth, the time of his birth, all the major events. And indeed, he is a marvel, rising from death threats in the cradle right to the being in line to the throne of Pharaoh. A Bible teacher called Dr. Haldeman has done some work on Moses' life, and he has listed 15 antitheses or opposites in the life of Moses. I want to list them for you. He was the child of a slave, but the son of a queen. He was born in a hut, but he lived in a palace. He inherited poverty, and he enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies, and yet the keeper of flocks. He was the mightiest of warriors, and yet the meekest of men. He was educated in the court, but he dwelt in the desert. He had the wisdom of Egypt and the faith of a child. He was fitted for the city, but he wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted with the pleasures of sin, but endured the hardships of virtue. He was backward in speech, but he talked with God. He had a rod of a shepherd and the power of the infinite. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh and an ambassador from heaven. He was the giver of the law and the forerunner of grace. He died alone on a certain mount, and appeared with Christ in Judea. No man assisted at his funeral, yet God buried him. If Egypt is the strangest of lands, Moses was the strangest of men. And no man owes more to the godly faith of his mother and father than did Moses. It was their exercise of faith and their willingness to defy the command of the king that Moses became the man that he was, living for God. 3 months of hiding him, and then to take the step to entrust him to God's care in the ark of bulrushes. Who knows the nights and hours of prayer that Amram and Jochebed had before they took that step of faith? Who knows the crises of trying to keep that child quiet in those 3 months, lest its cries be heard and the authorities take him off to be drowned? No wonder he became such a deliverer and a leader of God's people. And just as God chose the parents of Samuel, Samson, and the parents of, or at least the earthly parents of our Lord Jesus very carefully, so he chose the parents of Moses for all the right reasons. Indeed, we would have tonight here in the faith of Moses' mother and father a manual to all parents on how to raise our children and to protect them from the wrath of the world. And just as Pharaoh and the Egyptians wanted to destroy the children of the Israelites, there's a big world around us that is seeking to destroy our children, our own boys and girls, that they may love the world serve the world, and turn their back on God. We know the names of Moses' parents from chapter 6, verse 20. It gives us a little bit of a bio on both of them. The father's name was Amram, and his wife was Jochebed. Now, you'll notice that he took a wife of his own kith and kin, because he actually married his father's sister. Both of them were Levites. Both were of that tribe which were later to be dedicated to the service and the worship of God. And you'll notice how this is recorded for us in chapter 2:1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Now you'll notice that after 400 years from Jacob brought his family down into Egypt to Goshen to live, surviving the famine, 400 years later, God kept faith alive. There was still a people amongst these Israelites who knew their God, who believed in God, and who were not willing to give up their children to Egypt. Now, we read that their names, Moses' names and parents, not the names of their parents, but that he was hidden by his parents, turns up in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is the hall of faith. It's the place where the great heroes of the faith are recorded for us. Now, the key element of raising children to defy the world, to protect them from all the dangers of the world, is faith. That's what we learn from this account of Moses' mother and father. It is the work of believers showing forth their faith in hiding their children from the wrath of the world. Now, I trust tonight that you have that faith. I trust that we are all, as a church, crying to God continually that the Lord will raise up a generation who will serve Him and live for Him. And just as the Egyptians wanted to drown every baby boy in Israel, the world around us, with Satan behind it, would steal your child and turn it into a rebel to God. And so, parents, make sure that you learn tonight this very vital lesson from Moses' parents. I want us firstly to look at the reasoning of their faith. You'll notice in verse 2 that they reasoned that God's favor was upon their child. It says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child." Now, there's something about that. And it has to be more than just the natural fondness of a young mother for her infant. And I've never yet met a mother with an infant in arms who didn't think that her infant baby was the cutest baby in all the world. Now, we've all perhaps seen an ugly baby, but not one of our own flesh and blood. And every mother that is blessed with a newborn child would think, as Jochebed did and as Amram did, that he was a goodly child. So what does this mean? Is it just the natural attachment and the bonds of a mother for an infant? Well, what I want us to do tonight is to do a little bit of comparing where we read of Moses in two other passages. And if you have a Bible marker or a piece of paper or a pencil, I want you to mark two spots in the Bible for me. Keep Exodus 2, and let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because, here's the reason now, because they saw he was a proper child. A proper child. What does that mean? Are not all children, or at least the vast majority of children, children with all their faculties, with all their abilities to develop. What was so unique or special about this infant? Well, the second passage is Acts 7. Acts 7 is a history of the nation of Israel, and we're given here an insight into Pharaoh's daughter and Moses. And if we turn to Acts 7, verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. So here is another aspect to this child. He was exceeding fair. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, you will have a little number beside the word exceeding. And if you follow that across, you will notice that it means fair to God. Fair to God. It's an alternate translation of that passage. So he put this together. He was a goodly child. He was a proper child. He was fair to God. That this child had the favor of God upon him. Now, was this by revelation of God to them? Did they note something in this child that made them aware of something greater in the future for this boy? F.B. Mayer said, "It is the work of faith to hear the voice of God whispering in her soul." And perhaps in those evenings of cradling her little child, she sang the sweet lullabies to him and the Hebrew songs. The voice of God came to her soul. This child is destined for great things. Perhaps, and I don't make a doctrine out of this, but perhaps this boy Moses was like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Is it impossible that God should have his favorite ones right from the womb and in infancy, that there would be something of the very favor of God upon that newborn infant? Now, parents must not presume, but nor should we doubt that God, who has given us this child, a child of prayer, a child of faith, a child of seeking God, that already his blessing and his favor is upon the boy. Now, every parent can claim that the gospel promises are unto you and to your children. And that gives us grounds of faith and pleading terms, as I'm sure Jochebed and Amram did. And so their faith, the reasoning of their faith, they reasoned that God's favor was upon this child. They also reasoned not to fear the king. In Hebrews 11:23, and that's why I'm asking you to mark these passages, because we're going to go back and look at some of these details. It says in Hebrews 11:23 that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Now, that wasn't the faith of Moses, that was the faith of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, the king's commandment was that every parent should declare their children, hand them over, and have them destroyed by the authorities of Egypt. And to defy that command would certainly bring the untold wrath of the king of Egypt. We see that it's certainly commended by God. And it's not wrong for a Christian to disobey men whenever the commandment of men is against God. And therefore Christians need some backbone to their faith. They need to be willing where to stand up and where to defy the command of ungodly and earthly men. Another aspect of their reasoning by faith is that they placed this child in the waters of death. The Nile. The very place where all the children of the Israelites, or the male children of the Israelites, were drowned. The very scene of murder for multitudes of infants. They took their boy and they placed him what was really just a paper boat made of the papyrus paper from the bulrushes, pitched with slime and made watertight for a time. And they placed the little infant into that boat. But they placed it in the place of death. And therein Moses is a great example of God's salvation. How do we save ourselves? We place ourselves under death, under the death of Christ. And the place where God's wrath was poured out upon his Son is the place where we run to hide from the very wrath of God. That pitch which kept the water out of the boat for Moses typifies for us the blood of the Lord Jesus, because that pitch made the ark watertight, kept the water out. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus, and it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus that saves your soul and keeps you free from the wrath of God. Now, are you trusting tonight in the gospel ark? That's the question as we look at the faith of these parents as they put their little boy into that ark. You'll notice also that they stood nearby to see the salvation of God. Verse 4, and the sisters stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, Miriam was 12 years old at this time, and she was the sentinel. She was to be on watch. And her mother and father, they placed the boy into the ark of bulrushes. They withdrew from the scene, but little Miriam was to be on guard to see what would happen. And, of course, all were anxious to know what would become of the child. And therefore, faith was not abandonment, but rather it was the ability to trust in God and see the hand of God at work. I wonder, mother and father, have you left the matter of your child's salvation with the Lord? This was a tremendous act of faith. Entrusting this little boy to the ark of bulrushes, to the waters of the Nile, and waiting to see God working in mercy. That's what parents do when it comes to our children. We can't change their hearts. We can't turn them around from the ways of this world. There's a point at which we hand them over to God. Now, it's not to abandon them, but it is to stand still and see the Lord do his work in their hearts. Faith claims the promise. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." Where do we get faith like that? D.L. Moody said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th of Romans, faith cometh by hearing. I closed my Bible and prayed for faith. And I opened my Bible and began to study. And faith has been growing ever since. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we would seek faith like Moses' parents for our children, for the children of our church, for the generation that is growing up around us, let us open this book, take the promises, and plead them unto God. So that's the reasoning of faith. Then I want us to notice the reward of faith. In verse 5, you will see here that it's providence at work. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. The daughter of Pharaoh goes for a stroll with her ladies in waiting. And as she goes out of the palace door, which way does she go? Well, she wants to wash, so she goes down to the Nile. But we have learned that that Nile is, what, 400 miles long? And where does she go? Right to the spot where the ark is placed. And with all the flotsam and the jetsam of the Nile, with all the objects that might be in that river, as she goes down to wash, what does she see? What does her eyes fall upon? The little ark. And there God is guiding and directing. Don't tell me tonight that this world is made up of coincidences. This was no coincidence. You know the full story of Moses. You know how God was at work preserving this boy, bringing him into the house of Pharaoh, how he was sent out to Midian, brought back, brought Pharaoh down. God's hand was mightily at work. But now, will this princess have the same heart as her father, who would destroy all of these Hebrew children? She's young, and she may well have borrowed all the harsh attitudes of her ungodly father. And she also knows that he's a Hebrew. It says in verse 6, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And what happened when she opened the ark? The babe wept. And if there's anything that would touch the heart of a young lady, it would be those wet tears on chubby cheeks. And Moses, the little infant, was taken up, presumed to be hungry, and soon the princess was looking for someone to feed the little boy. And then Miriam steps into the picture. "Wilt thou have one of the Hebrew women to care for the child?" And she runs off at Pharaoh's daughter's command, go, and she comes back with whom? Jochebed, the mother of the baby. You know, this is the stuff of legends. This is the stuff that's better than fiction. This history, it's the amazing work of the hand of God in all of these details. But it's the power of the Lord at work through the very threads of life. And that power of God is at work in all of our lives. We all have stories of being the right person in the right place at the right time. And because of all that, here I am. We all have such stories to tell. And we know that all things work to the glory of God. There was a man who was a bachelor, and he loved his orchard. And he had an enemy who really despised him. And secretively he went into his orchard and he cut down one of his trees. And the tree fell upon that enemy and pinned him right to the ground. But soon returned the owner of the orchard and discovered the man underneath one of his trees that he had cut down. And he said to him, "Well, I've just brought my architect because I'm going to make an extension to the house, and I was wondering which trees needed to be cut down, and here you are, you've done the work for me." Coincidence? What is coincidence? I have two quotes on this. Coincidence is when God works a miracle and chooses to remain anonymous. In human terms, human eyes, we cannot see the hand of God in the action, and men call it coincidence. Providence is but predestination in its execution, and predestination is but providence in its intention. And we see all of this in the life story of Moses as he is preserved. And this is all the reward of faith. This is all the answer of God to the cries and the expectations of Jochebed and Amram. Now you'll notice provision at work. If we go down to verse 9, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." What a wonderful thing is this. What a wonderful story. Jochebed is not only to have her own baby back in her home, but she's going to have wages. This is the very first ever child welfare program. And she will be provided for all the while that she is caring for this little baby. Can you think of what the Egyptian newspapers of the day should have had in their front headlines? "Boat baby headed for Egyptian throne." Or maybe this Hebrew mother wins with a paper boat. This is amazing. How can all of this come together? And we have to believe tonight, and we have to be done with our unbelief, that Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love God. We have to call this divine favor. Now we learn that Moses' mother and father saw something about this child, that it had the favor of God. And then the boy enjoyed the favor of the princess, Pharaoh's daughter. And the favor of God ensured the favor of the princess, which later ensured that he would be brought into the palace to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and therefore for that time have something of the favor of Pharaoh himself. Now the Bible tells me that when a man's ways please the Lord, that he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And you and I have to recognize that every day of provision, every day of favor or opportunity that presents itself to us, behind the opportunity, behind the favor, is the hand of God at work. That's how we see this, the reward of faith. Then we see the reward of faith in the politics at work. The child grew, this is verse 10, the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Think of all the legal benefits entailed in that. Adoption brings legal benefits. He was, if not the first in line to the throne, yet he was in line to the throne. Who could have imagined that the act of faith to lay Moses at God's disposal in a little paper ark would lead to him ascending to the throne of Egypt? Now, the Pharaoh's daughter gave him the name Moses, which means drawn forth. That name is very significant because it means that all his days Moses would be a living testimony to this story. There's the man that was drawn forth. There's the man who, when he was a little infant, was placed in the Nile by his parents, and he was drawn forth under the protection of Pharaoh's daughter and later of the king. The name is significant, for it would keep alive for all his lifetime and until tonight as we preach this word. What does Moses mean? Drawn forth. Drawn out of what? Out of the Nile. Preserved and kept. Now that too would be a testimony to his parents' faith. What a story they had to tell. We were in dire straits. We were under obligation to hand this child over to be destroyed. But in faith we put him in a paper boat, we placed him in the Nile, and with God's favor he found Pharaoh's favor. What a story. What a reward of their faith. Now we need that spirit of faith tonight. In this world we face all kinds of impossible situations, difficulties, challenges and trials. And we need the faith to believe that God's hand of providence is at work in every situation. Do you believe that tonight? That's the challenge of this story of Moses. His very name, drawn forth by the favor of God. That's what we must believe. Then I'll move on in this account to the return of faith. Moses spent 37 years in Pharaoh's house. From somewhere around 3 years old, after he was weaned from his mother, he was presented back into the home of Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, and brought into the palace. And then it was 40 that he left the palace. So for 37 years or so, he was in Pharaoh's house. He enjoyed all the riches of Egypt, the education, the pomp, the ceremony, the fine things of Egyptian life in the palace. The greatest riches in all the world were at Moses' disposal. And for all those years, a mother and father wondered, had they lost their son? He had gone now into the palace life. Would he ever remember a thing of his own upbringing, his own nationality, that he is one of the Hebrews, the people of God. Well, let's go to verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren. There is faith returning. We don't know very much about what happened during those 37 years or so. But he went out unto his brethren. And in Acts chapter 7, 23, it says it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. All was not lost. However it was, he still knew that he was a Hebrew. He still knew that his people were not the people of Egypt, the people of the riches and the pomp and the ceremony and the power of Egypt. He said, these are not my people. And he looked out and he saw the slaves in their poverty and their sweat and labor. And he said, those are my people. And it came into his heart to go out and to visit his brethren. It was F.B. Mayer again who said, we will never understand the meaning of life until we understand the meaning of brother or brethren. Moses had more love, more loyalty, more attachment, more sense of responsibility to the slaves in their hardship than to the luxuries and the pride of Egypt. And that attitude of Moses when he went out to visit his brethren is the attitude of a Christian. The Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye love one another. The people of God, the Christian church, the family of God on earth are a despised people. The world drives by this church tonight and they say, I'm glad I'm not sitting in there listening to a preacher. But to those that comes into their heart to visit their brethren, they say, this is where I belong. These are my people, despised by the world, hated. But this is where I belong, and this is the people whom I must serve. And do you know what I've discovered? That Moses, when he was 40 years of age, when he made this visit to his brethren, he knew that he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. God must have revealed it to him somehow. We'll find that in Acts 7, and perhaps we'll look at that another time. But Moses knew, but the people of Israel didn't know. And when he slew that Egyptian and buried him, his own people were against him. They weren't ready to be led out. And so we see in the heart of Moses that there was something in his training, even as a little boy, in the home of his father and mother, something of the life of the people of God was riveted in his heart. And we are told that we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And there is hope for mothers and fathers, especially for those of us who have children and we don't know where they stand with God, or we fear that they're out in the world losing out. It came into Moses' heart to visit his brethren. Parents, never stop praying, never stop believing that God will be gracious and merciful to our children. It would be to say that God is not on the throne. It would be to say that the God of Moses is no longer alive. Because here was a young boy in danger as an infant against judgment in the Nile, and also in danger in the palace. But that was returning faith. What a wonderful day it will be, if it pleases the Lord, when we will see all our children on the roll book of heaven. And maybe a lost son or daughter walk through the church of the door of the church, and come and say, this is my people. This is where I belong. Maybe like the prodigal, after years of riotous living in a far country, having thrown off every home attachment, it'll come a day when he'll come to himself. and think of his father and his family at home. Parents, this comes very close to our hearts tonight. We know the pain of a son or daughter that's not living for God. And as parents, we pray every day, yes, night and morning, that God will answer and turn hearts to himself. This chapter gives us great hope and great confidence. God is able. And there are many stories like this story of the providence of God. That unseen hand at work in all the threads of life. Don't give up, but pray on. Let us as a church come to our prayer meetings. Bring the names of our children. Bring the names of our families and loved ones that are out of Christ. And pray for one another and pray for those families. And may God in grace lead us to see them saved and turn to himself. Amen.